Let's take the privilege to open the Word of God tonight and look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Tonight we're going to discuss the exciting subject of false teachers. Let's stand as we look into the Word of God. Now the Spirit, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. And I'll ask Brother Ken Worthen, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you again because of the privilege of coming and opening your word tonight. I ask you to fill Brother Doug with the Spirit. Help us see properly, Lord. Help us take these words and use them in your glory, God. Help us so we'll absorb this and keep it sitting in our lives. In the word of Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. Paul, of course, is writing to young Timothy, who is the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And his warning here is, in the last days, the end times, if you will, that there's going to be a falling away, a departure of the faith. What he's really pointing toward is the fact that false teachers are coming. In Acts chapter 20, Paul warned the Ephesian elders that false prophets or false teachers would invade the church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he says this: "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves." Do you ever think about where false teachers come from? Now, you know, we're not even going to get, I go on a tirade, get on my soapbox, and we can talk about the TV evangelists who want you to send in for prayer hankies, and they'll send you a prayer hanky if you send them an offering, and we're not going there tonight. I want you to think of false teachers as it would relate to Victory Missionary Baptist Church, okay? Because after all, This is our place tonight, is to apply it to us, right? So the first thing I want you to ask is, where do false teachers come from? Can Victory be exposed to false teaching? Absolutely. Number one, false teachers come from the outside. Those who would infiltrate the church. And what I've discovered is that they usually leave a trail of destruction behind them. Have you ever noticed that? You can see it by their past. They've torn up other churches, and they come to this church, and they come to tear it up, and it's pretty easy to identify. And so, number one, we have to be on guard from those outside coming into Victory who would preach or teach false doctrine and be here for the express purpose of tearing up God's church. But you know where else they come from? From inside the church. I want you to think about that one for just a minute. It might surprise some that false teachers rise up inside the church. But that's what Paul said in verse 30, Acts chapter 20, where he said, and from among yourselves men will rise up. I love our members.
Amen.
We are blessed with a great church family. But did you know a false teacher could rise up among us? I'll give you an example. You remember Peter, right? Do you remember Satan tried to use Peter to lead Jesus down the wrong path? You remember that? Acts chapter 16, Jesus was talking about he'd be crucified. And Peter said, oh no, not you. You know, you'll never... That'll never happen to you. I won't allow it. Do you remember what Jesus told Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. That immediately points a finger. I mean, if Peter could be going down the wrong road and trying to lead Jesus down the wrong road, where would that leave you and I? We have to be on guard. Ananias and Sapphira, members of the church at Jerusalem, tried to deceive the church at Jerusalem through their phony offering to make themselves look good and perhaps even advance in the church there. Do not think for one moment, here's the warning, do not think for one moment that God will not use the membership of this church to destroy His church. Does it all the time. And I'll tell you what, when he does it, they'll very likely think they're right in doing it. It's a warning. They're out there. We're living in the last days. And what do they want? What's their goal? Their goal is to seduce people. That's what he said in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says in the last time, some will depart from the faith. Why do they depart from the faith? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They seduce people. False teachers do not try to build up the church or turn hearts toward Jesus Christ in a deeper way. That's not their point. You know what false teachers do? They want people to follow them. Okay? Follow me. Yeah. It's all about me and all about building up a following behind me. When that happens, the alarm should go off. Because, beloved, we're about Jesus Christ. If we're not about Jesus Christ, we're wrong. Amen? I mean, it just works better. To God be the glory. To Jesus Christ our Savior be all praise and honor and glory. And we don't want any men followers. And that applies to me. Listen, I appreciate the love that Victory has shown to me. But I do not want your spiritual service to be based on Doug Hambrick. Okay? Because it's dangerous. Alright? Stick around me long enough. I promise you I'll disappoint you. Not on purpose, but I will. You see, watch for those who are trying to build up a following, get you to join a group or participate in an agenda. You know what the difference between a cult and a true church is? A church seeks to win lost people and seeks to grow those converts that they've won to Jesus Christ into a closer, deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the true church. A cult, a false teacher, proselytes, steals, and tries to create those that will serve that person or that group personally. And I figured something out. If you want to know, should you follow someone? You know the best way to decide? Ask them to show you Scripture for where they're going. Yeah. Show me based on the Bible where you're going, and I'll follow. And you see, if he's a true follower of God, he'll do that. And he'll share that with you. And he'll encourage you. As I said, you know, I don't ever want you... I love preaching, and I appreciate the reception that I get week after week at Victory. But I never want you to accept anything because I say it. I want you to accept it because it comes from the Word of God. And if I can't show you where it comes from the Word of God, I hope I'm smart enough to say, well, that's my opinion. Right? And opinions don't carry a lot of weight, to be honest. Our job, our standard, if you will, are we building? Are we edifying the body of Jesus Christ? If not, be suspicious. Then verse 2, he goes on, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Matthew chapter 7 says, you'll know them by their fruits. Amen. They're not that hard to pick out. They're not that hard to see. False teachers preach one thing and usually practice another. The mark of a true servant of God, whether it's in this pulpit or if it's teaching a Bible study class on Sunday morning, the mark of a true servant of God is integrity. Okay? That means he practices what he preaches. Now, do not take that wrong. It does not mean that he's perfect. Right? Far from it. But the heart of that true servant of God sincerely seeks to obey the Word of God. Isn't that what we're about? Isn't that what we all want? The false teacher can tell you one thing and practice another. Very sad, but it's true. Described as having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. You ever wonder why anybody could say something or do something that was hurtful or mean? There's your answer. Do you know that word seared? It means cauterized. And just like you can cauterize the flesh of a person and it becomes hard and without feeling, a person's conscience can be seared or deadened. And deep down, inside, that person may realize that they're pursuing their own interest. That false teacher may realize they're pursuing their own interest, but don't really care. Last Sunday night, I was driving home after church, and I was listening to a preacher. And I thought, my goodness. But this preacher was going on about raising money for his new jet. And he was talking about how he needed a big jet and how much millions of dollars it was going to cost and how God was going to use that church to buy him a jet. And I thought, wow. Wow. Has the gospel become about jets? You know, and immediately the red flag came out. And the red flag, you know, probably for most of you, the red flag would come up and say, what are they thinking? Get rid of that guy. But obviously, we go back to verse 1. The Spirit expressly says, in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You want to know why people follow the cults and follow the preachers that it's all about sending me money and all? You want to know why they? Because they're led or deceived by the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Last thing that false teachers tend to do is they tend to make up their own rules and pass them for the truth of God. You read verses 3 through about 5. It says they forbid to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And these false teachers in that day were teaching that to remain unmarried was more spiritual than being married. Where did they get that? I don't know. They come up with that all on their own. That's what they were teaching. And You know what the Bible truth says? Is there anything wrong with being unmarried? Absolutely not. But is there anything wrong with being married? Absolutely not. Okay? But to preach that or teach that as a Bible truth, Paul's given a warning that actually Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, you know what that says? It's not good for man to be alone. Amen. I must admit, I love my wife. I'm glad I'm not alone. Beware of any teacher that tampers with God's institutions, such as marriage. You realize there are churches out there today who are performing same-sex marriages, led by so-called pastors who are leading out in that political correctness, if you will. Once again, refer to verse 1, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You go on a little farther. Condemning food. What is, these were the Jews, and the Jews were trying to mix the Old Testament with the New Covenant, and trying to bring in legalism. You know, false teachers are very good at having a set of rules. All about keeping rules. I want to tell you what, the gospel is all about grace. Okay? Yes, we want to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ faithfully. We want to do and conduct ourselves in a manner that will bring honor and glory to God. But the ultimate message is the grace that's supplied by God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy to point a finger and look and say, well, his life's not right and her life's not right. And no, that's not what we're about. We're about grace, the love of God. Verse 6 says, and he's telling Timothy, here's what it takes. You want to be a good pastor? Warn you people. There are false teachers out there that lead you down roads you don't want to go. You check them. You be fruit inspectors. You don't believe everything that you hear. Verse 6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. You know something I appreciate about Victory? There are a lot of people at Victory who keep me on my toes. And I mean that in a good way. I mean they're doctrinally sound. Bible, very knowledgeable in the Bible. And nobody ever backs me into a corner and said, preacher, you were wrong. You know? But I have had people say, preacher, what about this? As a church, we have a responsibility. And that is to remain doctrinally pure. Okay? It's my responsibility as a pastor. It is your responsibility as a member. And we're not talking about those things like that have been handed down in traditions. This has nothing to do with anything. We're talking about rock solid Bible truths. May we never lose the truth of God's Word for anyone or anything. That's our responsibility. And I'd encourage you. Encourage me. Okay? Watch. Be fruit inspectors. Identify those that would tear up, tear down, or mislead. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to close with this. Jesus loved you so much that He went to the cross of Calvary for you. He gave His life so that you could have eternal life. What more could Jesus do? What more could God do to prove His love for you? You know, so often we back up and say, well, what has God ever done for me? And I've heard people say, well, what has God done for me? Let me tell you what God did for you. He gave His Son so that you could have eternal life. And He offers that salvation to you freely, inviting you to call upon Him, placing your faith and trust in Him. If you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you. Will you come and let me show you in the Scripture that you can call upon Jesus and you can walk out of here saved. Maybe you're here tonight and there's another need, a prayer need, the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church, or a rededication need. Whatever the need is, I want to challenge you. Listen to the Spirit of God as He speaks to your heart and respond. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. Oh Lord, it's been good to be in Your house. It's been good to open Your Word today and receive instruction from You. Lord, may we be diligent as children of God, as Your children, to study Your Word, to know Your Word. And may we be diligent, Lord, to be on the guard, not allowing false teachers to lead astray. Lord, and may we ourselves, even by with good intentions, may we not mistakenly lead people in a wrong direction. For Lord, we're here to glorify You. This is Your church. It belongs to You. And You are the head. So we look to You for guidance and pray that Victory Baptist Church will always bring honor and glory to You. Lord, we love You and we thank You for the great love that You have shown toward us. In Jesus' name I pray.